Before the Olympian gods ruled the heavens, before Apollo carried the sun across the sky or Selene guided the moon through the night, there was a titaness whose very being was made of brilliance. Thea was the goddess of shining light, divine sight, and the luminous power within precious things. She was the mother of the sun, the moon, and dawn, and through her, the cosmos learned how to glow. The moon sagged low, as if the sky itself had grown tired of holding it. The stars withdrew into a thin, watchful silence while Thea walked the river's edge, her bare feet slipping in the silt, her hands searching the black water for what would not return. Hours earlier, there had been a table, a meal, the quiet ritual of family. Cups were lifted, voices measured. Nothing was out of place. Her brothers had smiled then. They had always known how to wear calm, like a mask, but something long had been rotting beneath it. Ambition denied, a father's favor never given, a future that would never belong to them. So they followed Hyperion when the halls went quiet. There wasn't a warning, no struggle that mattered. It was simple steel across the throat. A god undone in a single motion. And there was Helios, bright, unguarded Helios, dragged from his chambers before the light could even rise from him. He fought, but blood recognizes blood, and it was blood that held him fast. They carried him to the river as if he were nothing more than weight. The Eridanus River swallowed him without protest, pulling brilliance into its green-black depths, where even light forgets how to exist. And Selene saw it all. Hidden in the corridor's shadow, she watched her brother taken, her voice trapped inside her chest like a living thing clawing to escape. She didn't understand how kin could become this, how love could fracture into something so precise, so cruel. When the silence returned, it was too loud to bear. She climbed where the sky could take her, and then she let herself fall into it. By the time Thea found what remained of her world, it was already gone. She first came to Hyperion. He was still, emptied. The warmth of him had already retreated. Then on to the river, where she called out for Helios until her voice broke against the surface. She waded in deeper, feeling blindly through reeds and cold currents, her hands grazing only stone, only weeds, only absence. Below her, he lay tangled in the quiet grip of the riverbed, unreachable, unreturning. Exhaustion took her where the world would not, and so she fell at the bank and slipped into a dream that did not feel quite like sleep. And there the darkness opened. It wasn't empty. It was quite alive, and Helios stood within it. His light was no longer contained by form. It moved directly through him. It was vast and unbroken. "Do not search for me here," he told her. His voice was steady as dawn. "What was taken will not remain lost." She saw it then as certainty unfolding, fire rising where water had claimed him, light returning, not as a body, but as a force that couldn't be buried. And Selene, no longer falling and no longer broken, gathered into the sky. Her grief was made luminous, her presence waxing and waning in an endless rhythm of becoming. Thea woke with the taste of salt and iron still in her mouth, and she called to her people, not as a queen, but as something fractured and something burning. And she spoke directly what she'd seen. Altars were raised where there had been none. Fires were lit for the son who would not stay beneath the earth. Songs were carried for the daughter who now moved through the night. they struck drums. They were low, trembling sounds that echoed through the land. Cymbals rang out like shattered light again and again, as if sound itself could hold what grief could not. But Thea did not remain amongst them long. She began to wander. She wasn't lost. She's never lost, but she no longer was tethered to what had been. The world had changed its shape, and so had she. And somewhere above, beyond the reach of hands or rivers or ruin, her children burned. Her children turned. They were untouchable now. They were eternal in a way that made even the gods uneasy. And the night, though it still fell, was never fully dark again. Thea stands within the oldest divine lineage of Greek mythology, one of the Titans born from the primordial union of Gaia and Uranus. In some traditions, she's called Eurypheza, the wide shining one, or Aether, blue sky, or even Basileia, named in the work of Diodorus Siculus. But her name Thea means something quite profound. The Greek word Thea can be translated as the divine one or goddess. It's also derived from the Greek words Thea, meaning sight, and Theazo, or prophecy. Yet she's also associated with another concept, which is radiance. In many ancient texts, Thea is described as the goddess who gives brightness and shining value to precious things. In the Homeric hymn to Delian Apollo, Thea is also referred to as Ichnai, or the tracing goddess. Pindar, the ancient Greek poet from Thebes, praises Thea in his 5th Isthmian ode, and he says the following: "Mother of the sun Thea, many names for your sake, men honor gold as more powerful than anything else, and through the value you bestow on them, O queen, ships contending on the sea and yoke teams of horses in swift whirling contests become marvels." Hesiod, in the Theogony, tells us that Thea united with the Titan Hyperion, whose name means he who goes above. And together, Thea and Hyperion produced 3 extraordinary children. We have Helios, the sun in whose palace that she resides, according to the 6th century BC lyric poet Stesichorus. We also have Selene, who becomes the moon, and Eos, the dawn. They are the living gods who move across the sky every single day and every night, bringing rhythm and order to the cosmos, and they all descend from the radiance of Thea. Thea is the eldest child of Uranus and Gaia, who grew up under the rule of a father whose power was absolute. Among her 11 siblings, tension brewed until her brothers turned on Uranus, overthrowing him in a brutal act that reshaped the cosmos. Cronus, her brother, claimed the throne and ruled as the supreme head. Thea and her sisters didn't take part. They remained outside of the violence, though not untouched by its consequences. But the pattern didn't end there. Cronus' own children, the Olympians, eventually rose against him, overthrowing him and condemning the male Titans and their allies to Tartarus. Because Thea had never joined the original rebellion, she was spared imprisonment in its depths. Thea belonged to a vast and turbulent divine family born from Gaia, the earth, and Uranus, the sky. Her siblings included the 11 other Titans, the one-eyed Cyclops, the 100-handed Hecatoncheires, and a host of primal beings that were tied to the earliest forces of the cosmos. From the blood of Uranus came the Erinyes and the Meliae, which later generations of this divine lineage produced sea gods, monsters, and serpentine beings such as Typhon and Python. Greek mythology presents creation not as this peaceful emergence, but as a series of violent upheavals between generations of power. When the Titanomachy erupted, which was the catastrophic war between the Titans and the Olympians, many of Thea's brothers fought against Zeus and were ultimately imprisoned in Tartarus after the Olympian victory. Ancient sources, however, never place Thea amongst the combatants. Unlike Cronus or Hyperion, she is not described as taking up arms against the new gods, and because of this, She was not condemned to the abyss alongside the defeated Titans, but the cosmos didn't remain at peace for long. After Zeus and the Olympians established their rule over the universe, Gaia herself grew enraged over the brutal imprisonment of her Titan children who were in Tartarus. In her fury and in her grief, she brought forth the Giants, a terrifying race born to challenge Olympian supremacy. This conflict became known as the Gigantomachy, the great war between the Olympian gods and the Giants. Unlike the Titanomachy, which was a struggle between the older and the younger divine generations for cosmic rulership, the Gigantomachy was a rebellion against the newly established order itself, a final attempt by Gaia to overthrow Zeus and to avenge her children. Ancient traditions differ on how much time passed between the Olympians' rise to power and the Gigantomachy. Mythologically, the war is presented as occurring after the Olympians had already secured dominion over the cosmos and even divided the realms amongst themselves. So by this point, Zeus was ruling the heavens, Poseidon the sea, and Hades the underworld. The Olympian order had been established, but it wasn't yet fully secured. Whether Theia participated in this at all, this later war, it remains quite uncertain. Most surviving literary sources are quite silent on her role, and some traditions suggest that the female Titans remained distant from the conflict entirely. Yet visual art tells us a more ambiguous story. On the famous Gigantomachy frieze of the Great Altar of Pergamon, which was dated to 2nd century BCE, a partially preserved goddess appears right beside Helios, battling a youthful giant. Scholars have often identified this figure being Theia, though the identification remains quite conjectural. If this interpretation is correct, it presents a fascinating image. The Titaness of luminous sight is standing beside her solar sun in defense of the Olympian cosmos. Not as a rebel against the new order, but as a primordial force that's aligned with the preservation of cosmic balance itself. And perhaps this is quite fitting for Theia. Unlike many Titans who were associated with the overthrow and the conflict, Theia occupies a quieter place in myth, less a force of domination than one of illumination. If she did stand in the Gigantomachy, then she may not have fought for Olympus as a political power, but perhaps for the continuation of order against a return to primordial chaos. Theia was often associated with the personification of the ether, the pure and luminous substance that ancient Greek thinkers believed filled the highest regions of the cosmos. In early Greek cosmology, the universe was layered. The lower realm consisted of air, the dense air breathed by mortals, while the uppermost realm was composed of ether, a rarefied, radiant medium associated with light, clarity, and divinity. This was thought to be the substance breathed by the gods themselves. It was incorruptible and untouched by the heaviness of earthly existence. Philosophers later expanded on this idea. In Aristotle's On the Heavens, ether was described as a fifth element, distinct from earth, water, air, and fire. It was eternal and unchanging. It formed the substance of the celestial spheres. Earlier poetic sources, such as Hesiod's Theogony, also reference ether as a primordial force born from Erebus and Nyx, representing the brightness and the upper sky. Within this cosmological and mythological framework, Theia was at times understood as a feminine embodiment of this radiant expanse. In certain traditions, she was called Ether or Aethra, aligning her not only with light, but with the very medium through which divine light was believed to move and to exist. One of the most fascinating aspects of Theia's mythology is her connection to vision itself, the sacred act of seeing. Yet in the intellectual world of ancient Greece, light and perception were intimately connected. Many early Greek thinkers believed that sight occurred through a relationship between the light of the world and the light within the human eye. One theory, sometimes called the emission theory of vision, which originated in ancient Greece around the 5th century BC by Empedocles, it suggested that a subtle fire of luminous energy streamed outward from the eyes and met the light surrounding objects. When these two forms of light joined, perception became possible. In this cosmology, sight was an interaction between the soul and the luminous fabric of the universe. Theia, as the goddess who grants brilliance to precious things and radiance to the celestial bodies, she became associated with this mysterious bridge between light and awareness. And her role, it suggests something profound, that seeing itself is a sacred act. When we see clearly, we're not just merely registering shapes and colors, we're participating in illumination. This connection between Theia and sight is reflected in her children as well. Her son is Helios, the sun god who is often called the all-seeing amongst the gods. In many myths, Helios witnesses events that no other deity observes simply because his chariot travels across the entire sky, and he becomes a divine witness, revealing quite a few hidden truths, for example, Persephone's abduction. Through Helios, the myth subtly links light with knowledge. Her daughter is Selene, which is the moon, and governs the softer illumination of night. Moonlight doesn't overwhelm the senses as much as sunlight does. Instead, it reveals slowly and quietly, inviting reflection and even contemplation. So in this way, Selene represents a more intuitive form of perception. And lastly, we have Eos, or the dawn, who embodies the moment when darkness gives way to revelation. Dawn is the daily rebirth of visibility itself, the moment when the world emerges from the shadow. Taken together, the family of Theia represents dimensions of awareness. Helios symbolizes clarity and full illumination. Selene represents reflective and intuitive vision. Eos embodies awakening and revelation. Theia stands behind them all as the source of luminous perception. In philosophical terms, she represents the principle that truth becomes visible through light. This symbolism resonates deeply with later spiritual traditions as well. Across cultures, illumination becomes a metaphor for wisdom, enlightenment, insight, revelation. These words all describe moments when something hidden suddenly becomes clear. The ancient Greeks seemed to understand that light and consciousness, they share the same symbolic language. And through Theia, myth reminds us that perception itself is a sacred gift. To see clearly is not merely a biological function. It's a participation in the radiant order of the cosmos. One of the more intriguing descriptions of Theia in ancient Greek literature appears in Hesiod's Theogony. In this early cosmological poem, Hesiod tells us that Theia gave gold, silver, and precious gemstones their brilliance and their value. It's not merely that these materials exist in the earth. Rather, their ability to shine, their captivating beauty, it's said to come from her divine influence. This detail may seem small at first, but it reveals something profound about how the ancient Greeks understood beauty, value, and light. Precious metals and gemstones weren't simply these rare substances. Their worth was intimately tied to their capacity to reflect and hold light. Gold glows with a warmth that seems almost solar. Silver captures the cool luminosity of the moon. Gems refract light into dazzling colors that shift and sparkle with every movement. So in mythic language, these materials weren't valuable only because they were scarce. They were valuable because they were luminous, and luminosity, in Greek cosmology, belonged to the goddess Theia. Theia is the titaness who infuses matter with brilliance, transforming ordinary substances into objects that capture human attention and inspire awe. When a piece of gold catches the sunlight or a gemstone flashes with sudden color, it's as if Theia's presence momentarily reveals itself. This connection between light and value reflects a deeper symbolic truth. Throughout human history, brightness has been associated with divinity, purity, and even spiritual power. temples. They were adorned with gold. It didn't only mean that they were displaying wealth, but it reflected the light of the gods. Sacred statues were gilded so that they would glow in the torchlight. Even the halos in later religious iconography represent an aura of divine radiance. Greeks seem to intuit that light carries meaning. When something shines, we instinctively recognize it as something special. This is why precious objects throughout history often appear in sacred contexts. Crowns, ritual vessels, sacred jewelry, temple offerings. They weren't merely decorative, they were the vessels of radiant symbolism. Thea, then, she represents the cosmic principle behind this phenomenon. She is the power that transforms matter into something that captures light and reveals beauty. If we look at this myth through a more philosophical lens, we begin to see another layer. Just as gold becomes precious because it shines, human qualities become precious when they radiate inner light. Compassion shines through kindness. Wisdom shines through understanding, and truth shines through clarity. So in this sense, the myth, it suggests that value itself emerges from illumination. Something becomes precious when it reflects a deeper radiance. The ancient Greeks expressed this insight through the figure of Thea. She is the hidden force that makes brilliance possible, not only in the realm of the heavens where her children move across the sky, but also in the earth beneath our feet. Every gleaming metal and sparkling gemstone carries a whisper of her mythic presence. And perhaps symbolically, so does every human soul that learns to reflect the light of awareness. The Titans are frequently misunderstood within Greek mythology, and in many modern retellings, they're often overlooked or reduced to a backdrop for the rise of the Olympians. Because the Olympian gods eventually overthrow them, the Titans are sometimes portrayed as these ancient and chaotic beings. In the book, The Gods of the Greeks, by the author Carigny, he states the Titans were gods of a sort that have no function except in mythology, and their function is that of the defeated. But many of the Titans actually represent fundamental forces of the cosmos. Oceanus embodies the great world river. Rhea becomes the mother of the Olympians. Thames represents divine order and law, and Thea represents cosmic radiance. The luminous structure of the cosmos is already established through Thea and through her children, way before Zeus rules the heavens and before Apollo becomes associated with the sunlight. The sun rises, the moon waxes and wanes, the dawn returns every morning, and it's this rhythm that forms the architecture of time itself, way before the Olympian order. When we look closely at the myth of Thea, something subtle yet powerful begins to emerge. She is not the sun itself, and she doesn't ride the chariot across the sky as her son Helios does. And she also doesn't traverse the night as Selene does, or open the gates of the morning like her daughter Eos. Rather, she exists as the source from which their radiance emerges. In mythological symbolism, this distinction is quite important. Thea represents a deeper principle, the generative field from which light becomes possible. In many ancient traditions, the feminine divine is associated not only with creation in a biological sense, but with the matrix or womb of reality, the invisible ground from which life and consciousness arise. Thea embodies this idea through light. Her children don't merely shine. They carry forward her luminous essence into the structure of the cosmos. The sun becomes the great beacon of day, the moon governs the rhythms of the night, and the dawn marks the moment when darkness gives way to revelation. Together, they form the celestial cycle that orders time itself. Yet behind these lights is their mother Thea, who represents the primordial radiance from which illumination is born. This symbolism resonates with a broader archetypal pattern found throughout world mythology. The feminine is often associated with the capacity to reflect, reveal, and illuminate. The moon reflects the light of the sun, Water reflects the sky, and polished metal reflects the face that gazes into it. Reflection is a sacred act of revelation. Through reflection, something hidden becomes visible, and through illumination, meaning emerges. Thea's mythology suggests that radiance itself has a maternal quality. Light doesn't simply blaze forth, it emerges from this deeper field of being. In spiritual language, we might say that Thea represents the luminous ground of awareness, maybe the quiet brilliance that allows perception, beauty, and truth to become visible. Her radiance is subtle, but it's generative and sustaining. So just as dawn unfolds gradually across the horizon, Thea's light reminds us that illumination often arrives softly, revealing the world to us little by little. When we bring Thea out of myth and into a philosophical or psychological lens, she becomes something far more intimate than a distant Titaness. She begins to resemble a pattern within consciousness itself, a principle that speaks to how human beings come to see, to recognize, and even to know. In early Greek thought, light was never understood as merely physical. It wasn't only what allowed objects to be visible. It was what made truth perceptible. Thea, whose name carries the sense of radiance and brilliance, embodies this deeper function. She's not simply associated with light as an object, but with light as a condition of awareness, because illumination, in its truest sense, is not about brightness alone. It's about the moment when something previously obscured becomes visible, internally as much as it does externally. It's the shift from not seeing to seeing, from confusion to recognition. Therefore, Thea can be understood as an archetype of inner illumination, as the capacity within consciousness to reveal what has been hidden. Philosophically, this aligns with the Greek concept of aletheia, often translated as truth, but more precisely understood as unconcealment. As Martin Heidegger later articulated, aletheia is not the construction of truth, but its disclosure, the coming into presence of what was previously hidden. Within this framework, Thea's function is not to create knowledge, but to allow it to appear. This process isn't as abstract as you might think it is. It unfolds in these very deeply ordinary human ways. It appears when a pattern becomes visible that you couldn't previously recognize, when you name something honestly that you've been avoiding, or when an emotional reaction reveals the deeper rod, or even when something that once felt empty suddenly holds meaning for you. When we widen this understanding into the symbolic dimension of myth, Thea's role becomes even more precise. She's the mother of Helios, Selene, and Eos, the sun, the moon, and the dawn, yet she doesn't govern the forces directly. She doesn't drive that chariot over the sun across the sky, nor does she guide the moon through its phases. Instead, she exists at a more foundational level, because again, she is the source of their radiance. Helios carries the sun, but its brilliance is inherited. Selene reflects the night, but her glow is not self-generated. And Eos ushers in the dawn. The light that she spreads originates elsewhere. In this way, Thea represents something primordial, the origin of luminous perception itself. She's not the expression of light, but the condition from which different forms of light emerge. And these forms do matter symbolically. The sun reflects direct, undeniable clarity, the kind of insight that is immediate and difficult to ignore. The moon reflects a quieter, more intuitive knowing. It's indirect, cyclical, and often subtle. The dawn reflects transition, the moment where something begins to come into view, not yet fully visible, but it's no longer hidden. Together, they suggest that illumination isn't singular. It moves through different modes of awareness, clear insight, intuitive recognition, and gradual awakening. All of these emerge from the same underlying capacity, the capacity that Thea represents. This aligns with how the ancient Greeks experienced their world. The cosmos for them wasn't inert or mechanical. It was ensouled or alive with intelligence and meaning. Light, within this particular worldview, wasn't only this physical phenomena, but this revelatory force. It made the structure of reality perceptible. It connected the visible world to the divine order that's underlying it. So when Thea embodies light, she's not simply just glowing in a symbolic sense. She represents a fundamental principle that reality can be known, that perception can deepen, and that what is hidden can come into awareness. So bringing this back to lived experience, inner illumination isn't about becoming perfectly clear or endlessly wise. It's about cultivating a relationship with awareness itself. And it's also this willingness to ask, what am I not seeing? What becomes clearer when I slow down? What feels true beneath my immediate reactions? And maybe even more importantly, can I remain with what I perceive without immediately trying to alter it? Because illumination precedes any form of transformation. It's the condition that makes change possible, and not the change itself. Over time, this process creates a subtle but a profound shift. External sources of clarity, validation, certainty, and direction begin to lose their centrality. In their place, something quieter begins to take root, a trust in one's own capacity to perceive. Thea, as an archetype, she offers visibility, and in that visibility, unconscious patterns begin to loosen. Beauty becomes more accessible. Choices begin to align more closely with what is actually true, rather than what is assumed or even inherited, because illumination, at its deepest level, is something that emerges again and again and again each time that you're willing to see it. Beyond her role as the mother of Helios, Selene, and Eos, Thea is woven into a far older current of celestial power, one that speaks to vision itself. Among the Titans, there's this underlying association with oracular wisdom, where divinity and perception are intertwined, and the heavens aren't only observed, but they're interpreted. Thea belongs to a lineage of brightness and insight where light is not merely this physical illumination, but the capacity to see beyond what is immediately visible. In ancient Greek thought, many sky and heaven-linked goddesses were connected to prophecy and divination. Oracular shrines were spaces where these mortals could approach the divine, ask questions, and even receive glimpses of what lay beyond ordinary perception. Within this wider mythic network, Thea's sisterhood reflects a constellation of prophetic power. Phoebe is associated with Delphi, Dion with Dodona, Mnemosyne with Lebedea, and Themis is said to have once overseen the order of oracles themselves. Together, these figures form a luminous framework of divine insight where Thea's brilliance can be understood not only as radiance in the sky, but as part of a deeper inheritance of sacred knowing that moves through light, memory, order, and even revelation. One of the curious things about Thea is how quickly she seems to disappear from the mythological record. In Hesiod's Theogony, she's introduced clearly as one of the great Titanesses, and she's the mother of the celestial lights. Yet after this moment, stories about her become surprisingly scarce. Unlike some of her other Titan siblings, such as Rhea, who becomes the mother of the Olympian gods, or even Oceanus, who continues to appear in later mythology, Thea fades quietly into the background. Why does this happen? Maybe part of the answer lies in the way that Greek mythology evolved over time. As the Olympian gods became more prominent in Greek religion, many earlier cosmic forces were gradually absorbed into the identities of newer deities. The Titans weren't necessarily erased, but their powers were often redistributed amongst the Olympian order. We can see this transformation clearly in the lineage of Thea's children. Her son Helios, the ancient sun god, was originally the primary solar deity in Greek cosmology. Over time, however, aspects of solar radiance and divine illumination became associated with Apollo, who emerged as this major Olympian god of light, prophecy, and even truth. Similarly, the moon goddess Selene gradually shared her symbolic space with Artemis, whose lunar associations became more prominent in later traditions. Even Eos, the goddess of the dawn, continues to appear in myth primarily as this poetic figure who opens the gates of morning rather than as a central deity of worship. The luminous family of Theia, it doesn't disappear, but rather becomes woven into this evolving structure of the Greek divine world. Theia herself remains in the background as this primordial source. This pattern is actually quite common in mythological systems. The earliest deities often represent vast cosmic principles, forces that gave birth to the structures of the universe. Once those structures are established, the narrative focus, it shifts to the younger gods who inhabit and then govern them. Theia's role is therefore less about dramatic storytelling and more about this cosmic origin. She belongs to the generation of gods who helped shape the very conditions of the universe, with light, radiance, and visibility itself. Even when her name is no longer spoken in the stories of later gods, her presence continues through the celestial bodies that illuminate the world each day and night. The sun still rises, the moon still glows, the dawn still opens the sky, and through them, the radiance of Theia quietly endures. While there aren't any surviving mythological narratives that center the Titaness Theia herself, a single evocative tradition is preserved through Plutarch. In his writings, he recounts this fable-like tale, which is often referred to as the moon and her mother, sometimes placed within the Aesopic traditions of moral storytelling. In this account, Selene, the moon, turns to her mother and asks her to weave a garment perfectly fitted to her measure. Yet the mother, who is left unnamed in the telling, though she's often associated with this maternal cosmic figure like Theia, responds that such a task is impossible. The moon is never fixed in form. At one moment, she's full and radiant. At another, she narrows into a crescent. And at yet another, she appears diminished, halfway between light and absence. Her shape is always shifting. It's always becoming something new. The request, then, can never be met, not because of the lack of skill, but because the nature of the moon herself resists permanence. If we contemplate Theia as an archetype, we might ask ourselves the following. Where in our lives do we bring light? Where do we illuminate truth? What hidden beauty are we capable of revealing? Theia teaches us that radiance is not something that we must chase. It's something that we choose to embody. Just as the sun shines because it must, the human soul carries its own luminous potential. So how do we connect with Theia today? Archaeological evidence has revealed no temples that are explicitly dedicated to Theia, leaving her presence in the ancient world pretty elusive. It's felt rather than firmly located. Yet there is a subtle trace that appears if we reference Strabo's geography, where he connects the goddess Ignea and the site of Phthiotis with the goddess Themis, but also with the goddess Theia. So potentially there is an honoring at that location. Some interpretations do suggest that the goddess Ignea only points to Themis, but others suggest that it points to both Themis and Theia as the goddess Ignea herself. This, for some scholars, is mere speculation, but for others, it shows that she was honored in that specific geographical location. If Theia was understood like her sisters as this oracular force, then her influence may not have been confined to a single temple. Instead, she may have been honored with the great centers of prophecy, such as Dodona, or even at a lesser-known shrine of Ignea in Thessaly, where divine insight was sought and received. Offerings that are aligned with her nature reflect her particular essence. Those would be gold, silver, and gemstones, materials that catch and reflect light. To the Greeks, gold in particular wasn't looked merely as wealth. It was looked at as this manifestation of divine radiance. As Pindar suggests, the gleam of gold carries something of Thea's presence, the brilliance through which the world becomes visible and luminous. Gemstones and crystals such as clear quartz for clarity, citrine for radiance, or even sunstone or moonstone for her children's energies would be good ideas as offerings. Oil lamps or even candles. Fire as this controlled light, which is symbolic of awareness, may be a good offering to even consider here for the goddess Thea. An invocation to the goddess Thea may include the following. O luminous Thea, Titaness of radiant sight and celestial clarity, source of the sun's brilliance, the moon's silver glow, and the awakening light of dawn, illuminate what lies hidden within me. Help me see with wisdom rather than fear, with truth rather than illusion. May your quiet light guide my mind toward clarity, my spirit toward deeper awareness, and my heart toward what is real. Holy Mother of Light, teach me to trust the illumination that rises from within. As we come to the end of this exploration of Thea, we're left with a goddess who is both ancient but strangely intimate. She doesn't dominate the myths with these dramatic tales or heroic adventures. Instead, Thea exists in the background as this quiet and foundational presence. Thea reminds us that before we can have any form of revelation, there first has to be light. Before the world can be understood, it has to be illuminated. In the language of mythology, she is the mother of the sun, the moon, and the dawn, the celestial lights that guide the rhythms of our days and our nights. But if we look deeper, her symbolism reaches into the realms of consciousness itself. Light has always been one of humanity's most powerful metaphors for awareness. When we understand something for the first time, we say that a light has gone on. When the truth emerges, we speak of illumination. When insight arrives suddenly and clearly, we call it enlightenment. These metaphors are not merely accidental. Across cultures and centuries, human beings have recognized a profound connection between light and knowing. Thea embodies this ancient intuition. She represents the primordial radiance that allows perception, reflection, and insight to unfold. In mythic language, she is the luminous ground from which awareness itself becomes possible. In today's world, we often search for awakening through teachings, practices, or philosophies that promise some form of transformation, but perhaps the myth of Thea suggests something simpler and deeper. Awakening begins with seeing clearly, seeing ourselves without illusion, seeing the world with greater compassion, seeing the hidden beauty that exists even in the ordinary moments of life. Just as dawn slowly reveals the landscape that was hidden in darkness, consciousness gradually illuminates the deeper dimensions of our existence. Thea reminds us that this light isn't something distant or even unreachable. It's already woven into the fabric of the cosmos and into the nature of the human soul. Every sunrise carries her memory. Every glimmer of gold or flash of starlight echoes her ancient radiance. And every moment of genuine insight when something suddenly becomes clear may be a quiet reflection of the same luminous power. Perhaps that is the true legacy of Thea. Not simply just the mother of the lights in the sky, but the archetype of the light that awakens within us.